This podcast is brought to you by Magic. Magic is your text-based personal assistant. It's powered by real people and available 24/7 to help you with your personal and business tasks. Try Magic now and get your first 3 hours for free at getmagic.com/TMS. That's getmagic.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, wieners and wedding cars.
Behold the cube.
Blame the bread.
Bears can drive.
Don't be a hero with the heroine.
Japan has terrible robots.
Trek nerd and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Just went to move it with a tractor and all of a sudden I was digging. Just went down a little deep and the tractor stopped. I'm like, man, what is this? Well, I end up digging some more and got to the hood of it. This is a car.
It looks like a zombie mermaid pissing in the ocean.
Hello, my friend. Stay a while and listen.
This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. This is The Morning Stream for Monday, August 7th, 2017. Scott Johnson here with Brian Ibbett. Hello.
Hello, Scott Johnson. Happy new week to ya.
Yeah, it's my first week of like uninterrupted, gotta get stuff done kind of week since like July 1st. So
yeah, feels like, okay, well, since before that, right? Because
yeah,
the last week of June was plenty of interruptions and got to get stuff done.
Yep. And it was, you know, all hands on deck before that. So it's been a while since I've been able to just sort of look at the week clearly and know what needs to be done and know that I just have a clear goal to get it all done.
True.
So that's my thinking moving forward. For those wondering what we're talking about, it's just weekend after weekend after weekend of family reunions, weddings, combination family reunion weddings. Another wedding. So many weddings. All my nieces and nephews are getting married.
Two members of the family reunited and got married.
Exactly. I mean, we're setting them up for another 50 years of this, these poor people. I had another wedding over the weekend, and it was very nice. My sister's daughter, Morgan, was wed to Marshall, who's a super cool dude. And it was a good time. All that stuff was great. However,
finally know how Marshall met your mother.
Yes, how Marshall met my mother. I have a story to tell you. Okay. I'm trying to decide how to do this as delicately as possible.
You know, are they potential show listeners?
No.
Okay.
No. Well, I know,
but
that
you're just trying to be diplomatic.
Yeah. Well, sure. So it's a generational thing, I'm sure, and I'm trying to get my head around it. So, Brian, I like a wiener joke as much as the next guy. Right.
I would argue. I'm sorry. I'm just grabbing. Yeah, I just realized I haven't changed my calendar. I've got August, but I have September. Yeah. I would argue, Scott, that you like a wiener joke more than most people.
More than the next guy. All right. So if there was a guy next to me, I probably like a wiener joke more than that guy next to me. So probably true. And I don't have, you know, I got no problem laughing at, you know, men have a dumb anatomy. We just look dumb. That's just how it is.
Yeah,
and it's totally fine. I'm here to make fun of it, and it's great. Here's the weird bit. So we're at the wedding. Everything goes swimmingly, no problems. We're at the reception now. We got there early to help my sister and everybody set up. Beautiful venue. Really nice. Like you'd see it in a movie or something. It's really pretty there. Big, beautiful space, and we get all that stuff going, and everything's great, and the night goes the way you expect it to go. However, the DJ there, and I thought of you because you used to do this.
Uh-huh.
You used to do wedding DJ stuff, right? I mean, you weren't
trying to imagine where the confluence of wedding DJ and wiener is going to come into play. I promise.
On pins and needles. I promise that part is not necessarily connected, although maybe it is.
Okay,
that's where I'm trying to wrap my head around it. So wedding DJ there, for whatever reason, and I'm talking. How do I put this delicately? This is a very white crowd. Okay.
Okay.
with the exception of the fact that there are a lot of Koreans there also, but that's because my side of the family is a bunch of Koreans. My sister is Korean. Her daughter is half Korean. She's the one getting married. So there is an Asian influence around there. Oh, and we have a friend from Arizona who's visiting, who's a Green Beret. He's up here doing teaching or something at a local army base. Dude's a total badass and the nicest guy you've ever met. He's also Asian, Japanese by descent. And he's there. So Asians and white people. That's it.
Okay.
Including, I'm sorry. The one exception being the DJ is, I think, Indian. And I don't mean dot, not feather.
Gotcha. Eastern Indian.
East Indian, yeah. And but he's American, obviously. He's, you know, he's
sure.
Whatever, but he's clearly from that descent. So he's sitting back there behind the table. He's got his MacBook and his, you know, his speakers and his whatnot. The entire night sounded as if you just closed your eyes and listened to the DJ, you'd think you were at a Jersey Shore reunion special.
Okay.
Because it was the most clubby, like...
Oh, like EDM kind of stuff.
Not even that. More like just show me your booty and raise it in the air. Whoop, 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 whoop.
Right.
Just super, not, I wouldn't even call it hip hop. It's like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what is there.
A song by Pitbull played more than once in the evening.
Maybe. There's also a lot of like Fetty Wap. You know?
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, you know, his...
Some Flo Rida?
Yeah, a little bit of that. Like, it's just, it was totally, and him just going, we're off the hook, let's do it, just talking like that the whole time. And I felt just like, dude, play Lady in Red or freaking...
Was there a fog machine filled with Axe body spray?
No, but there were people with a couple of gold chains that I noticed as well.
Good enough.
Yeah, good enough. So it was definitely that kind of stuff, but it just didn't fit to me.
Yeah.
And it's sure. I don't know how they found the person, and it's fine, and it's none of my business. That's fine. Okay, that's number one. This should have probably been the hint about the number two I'm about to give you. I'm about to give you a number two, Brian.
Okay. Lay a number two on me.
That's
here.
Right. Lights start getting low. The sun is going down. It's an outdoor venue. Sun's going down. It's time for them to wrap up, do the big sparkler. You know, everyone has sparklers, and the couple runs through the sparklers and gets into their car and stuff.
It's the replacement for rice being thrown, which causes harmful to the birds.
Yeah, and creates like a pigeon infestation for hours and hours and hours. Like it's a bad idea.
But you know, you've got Eastern Indian and Asian represented very well at this wedding.
Yeah, totally. You'd think a little rice would be
rice
appropriate.
Would be, yeah. Like if we're gonna allow rice for one wedding, it seems like this would be an okay one to allow.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. But anyway, so this is all happening. We're getting ready for that, and I'm out running stuff back and forth to a car, and I noticed that the groomsmen have started to decorate the car and paint it, and you know how you do that. You cover the car, just married and all that, with the cans dragging behind it,
of course,
all that stuff.
Yeah, traditional, right?
Well,
just hitched.
Let's talk about tradition for a second.
Sure.
Something has changed since you and I got married.
Okay.
And I am no prude, as many will attest. And like I said earlier, I like a good wiener joke. Okay.
Right. Oh, no.
This car is, and by the way, all the kids that are doing this, these 19 to 24 year olds that are doing this.
Yeah.
They're all BYU students. So they're as white as you can be.
Wholesome.
Yes. No, you know, nice, perfectly coiffed hair, ties straight. Like what you expect from the whole stereotype. That's who we're talking about here.
Okay.
Except they are every possible inch of that car is covered in a drawing of a penis.
one penis?
No, many penises.
Oh, okay, so this was festooned with wangs.
Many wangs. Every couple inches, there's a wang and a message like, virgin no more, or your balls will never be blue again, or like the most like... It was super, not, how do I put this? It was rated R.
Obviously, the person who wrote that has never been married.
But it was like rated R stuff all over this thing. Big, giant wieners. And they're old people. And I'm talking like big, phallic-y, like you'd see it in a nasty bathroom in Vegas or something. Like scrawled on a wall in a bad part of town. Just these big, gross C&B, if you know what I'm saying. And on the C&B... Oftentimes, it would show it in a state of
depletion.
Yeah, ejaculatory post mortem.
Like, basically, the penis version of the phrase success.
Mission accomplished.
Right, exactly.
And that was all over the hood, on the back, everywhere. Now, here's the best part: there are a lot of old people here. And I don't mean, you know, guys in their 40s like me. I mean, like, guys in their 70s and 80s and women in their 70s and 80s who are grandparents, great-grandparents or whatever, milling around this place. And to get out of there, they all have to walk past this car. And all of them are doing double takes. Every single one of them walks out and goes, like, looking at this car. Like, because on the back of it where the light is able to see anything, it's just this giant. I mean, you know what? I've got a picture on my phone. Chat room, I'm holding this up. Brian, you'll see it too.
Yeah.
This is a must-see. Hold on. This is one example. What's wrong with my camera roll? Here we go. This is just one example on the rear of the car that I took. Chat room at home, or people at home, I'm sorry. This is audio only for you, but there's one of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, see what I mean? The most, like graffiti.
What are all the white or the yellow squares?
They're like all post-it notes? Post-it notes, and their goal there was that everyone else who didn't decorate it would write little messages on the post-it notes. So this was early.
Those will be decorating the street when they drive away.
Exactly, they will. And they're going to say terrible things on those, too. So I guess
poorly done on their part.
I completely agree. And look at, I mean, this is a lovely, look at them running through the, here, watch this. This is them running. Here's the sparklers.
Do we have a shot of them discovering the car?
Yeah. I don't know if they were
that's really cool with the sparklers. That's a really pretty effect.
Isn't that nice? And then watch what my daughter does, because she's a dork here at the end of the video. She tries to poke my camera with that one. See it? She tries to poke
me. Nice.
Then I stopped. Anyway, so it was, you know, they get out to the car and they drive off. And I said to my sister, Misha, who is the sweetest, kindest human being on the planet. And I said, Misha, what's going on with all the wieners on the car? She goes, yeah, some of these things have changed.
Ugh.
And then she walked away. And I thought, I don't know. When did it happen? When did it? Is it the rise of internet porn have driven all these guys to just, I got to draw wieners all the time, or what?
Exactly. Finally, a chance to show off my sketches that I've been working on for months on the bus.
It really threw me. It just, I don't know. I wasn't offended by it. I was just surprised by it, because my car was covered in like Oreo cookies. And somebody sprayed.
They like separated an Oreo cookie and then stuck the frosting on the car.
Which, by the way, in a hot like summer wedding, it's bad. They leave stain. They'll stain it forever, basically.
Oh.
But like, you know, whipped cream on the back that said "The Happy Couple" and on the you know, like all these very positive, you're starting a new life together things. Nope, this is just dicks. Just dicks.
Number one, it's one sided. On the whole wedding thing.
I agree. I asked Ken. I said, where are all the vaginas?
I think that some, you know, I'm not an old man, like get off my lawn kind of thing. But I feel like there are some traditions that need to stay.
Exactly.
Not necessarily wholesome, but
I totally
agree. You're vandalizing a car. Isn't that enough?
Right.
Does it have to be? Does it?
And her car's like a Range Rover or some fancy thing. Like, it's some nice car. I forget what it is.
Oh, wow. Maybe not lots of surface area, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's like a little SUV kind of thing. So lots of space to put lots of wieners. And I don't know. I just walked away from that going, well, is that cool? I guess it is. I don't know. Like, look, I'm not here to judge. It's fine. I realize that they may be just running at a different on different steam than I was when I was 20 and I would have been in charge of this for a friend or something. But I don't know. You got to park that someplace. You know, and then
exactly. Oh my gosh! Yeah, the people at the Homewood Suites are going to be really thrilled to have that in their parking lot.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, it was weird, and nonetheless, fine wedding. Congratulations, Morgan and Marshall. Very happy for you both. They're a very nice couple, but your friends are kind of gross, and you need a better DJ, and they all need to quit dancing. I mean, there must be something going on at BYU. This is what happens when you have a really strict code of conduct. The kids all find other ways to rebel. I don't know if you've heard this particular thing. One of the codes of conduct, it's a privately run school, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. A popular one. It's produced great football players in the past.
Steve Young.
Steve Young, Jim McMahon, many others. Jim McMahon?
Super Bowl MVP, Steve Young.
Yeah. Who's Jim McMahon? Do I have it right? Jim McMahon?
Jim McMahon, from the Chicago Bears.
The Bears, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, they know their stuff and whatever, they're fine. But they have this code of conduct that's pretty strict. Like, you know, you can't come to school with like a tiny mini skirt and your undies off or something.
Sure.
Or, you know, things like that. Well, I can't think of any specifics, but one of them is a pretty strict conduct about behavior, specifically don't be sleeping around. When you sign into the school, you basically commit, I'm not going to be a sleep around person.
Sure.
These are college kids.
Of course.
That's hard.
Yeah.
I understand that. But so what they do, because when you put something stringent in place, what ends up happening is they go kind of through lots of hoops to get around it. And right. One of them is this thing called super dating. Have you heard of this?
No.
All right. You're going to love this because...
I'm picturing a a superfood salad, like how you know you get your regular salad, but then you just want to go nuts and you have a superfood salad. Anyway, okay,
you're not wrong, and also it appeals to a very particular thing you like. So here you go. Here's what you do
for dating.
This is BYU super dating, and as far as I know, it's the only place they do it. A bunch of them will get together and decide to go to Vegas. So they all load in cars. Let's say it's six kids, three couples. They drive to Vegas. They go to the Little White Chapel on Fremont. They get married. They go and have sex all night.
Right.
And then they annul it in the morning. They annul it in the morning and go home. They call that super dating. And it's basically their way of getting around the rule. Because if you're married, it's fine. And you're not breaking code of conduct, you won't be kicked out of the school. It's ridiculous. It's the stupidest thing.
That's a lot of work for sex.
It is so much work. And that's my point. When you put up these walls, what you end up doing, and look, I'm all for, you know, standards and encouraging people to you know, be moderate in their way they are and all that. I get it. I totally get it. But what often happens when you put things in place like that is people will find a way. I won't even get into the word soaking. Have we talked about soaking before?
No.
I'm not going to tell people what that is.
Okay. This isn't like something to do with Limp Bizkit, is it?
No, but...
Like something to do with where Limp Bizkit got their name, I should say.
No.
Okay. All right.
Good. No, it does not.
Okay.
But you can find info on it. It's real dumb. It's dumb. So what ends up happening is they freak out and they have crazy DJ night where they're just like, we're up in the club and we're drawing dicks on a car. And it's just stupid.
So doesn't what they're doing to circumvent the religious prevention of premarital sex.
Yeah.
Wouldn't, you know, getting married and then annulling it within 24 hours kind of also be something that the religion frowns upon?
Exactly. Like that's exactly true.
The church maybe doesn't approve of?
No, it's exactly true. Like what you just said is exactly it, but that's your mindset when you're a horny weirdo. Like you're just like, well, whoa, we get around. Like it's all letter of the law when you're trying to get away with it. You know what I mean?
Wow. And basically when they fill out forms in the future and have to say married, single, divorce.
Yep.
I guess if you annul, you don't have to declare it, right? Because it's as if the marriage never happened.
You have to do it within some hours, but yes. It has to be.
Oh, my God.
I
would totally get my girlfriend drunk, my 24-hour fiancé drunk, and make her sign a prenup.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. Anyway,
wow.
I just had a lot of thinking about this over the weekend and whatever. It's fine. It's a different generation and they got to do what they got to do. But I would not decorate my car in wieners. I would not do that. All right. No more weddings until. Well, that's not true. Next Friday night and Saturday, I have another wedding. So one more and then I'm done. That's my nephew this time. And that should be fun. He's getting married. I expect way less of this because they're not quite the party animals that some of these kids were. So I think it's going to be fine. What else? You saw all kinds of people this weekend. Why was your weekend so busy?
Yeah, well, we had dinner with my dad on Friday night doing a birthday dinner. We had Spagnolo's game day at their house. Lovely house. Again, with a lot of the same crew.
Sib
was there this time. Old man and old lady Franks and their kids were there. Ice Worm was there.
Nice.
Ryan Davidson from Blizzard was in town, so he joined us.
Oh, cool. He's great. He's the coolest dude.
He really is. He's absolutely the coolest dude.
Yeah, and we like him.
He's also hooking me up with BlizzCon tickets, so that makes him even cooler.
Wait a minute. I don't even have them yet. What's going on? Hey, oh, ho, Ryan. Hell. Ho, hey, ho.
All You're right. on the friends and family list with the wrong person.
I definitely am, and you know who it is. Anyway, go ahead.
Did I ever tell you about the time I had too many people on my friends and family list?
I'll have to talk to Ryan. But, anyway.
So that was a blast. We had such a great time, played tabletop games. Iceworm brought this game called Escape from the Aliens in Outer Space. I think that's what it's called, Escape from the Aliens in Outer Space. And it's very similar to the game you and I played at Nerdtacular, that's kind of like Battleship on steroids.
Oh, right. That's a lot like Space Team.
Sonar.
Yeah, like the Space Team mobile game kind of.
Exactly. Yeah. And basically you've got players who are aliens and players who are humans. They're all in a ship. Their ship is totally dark, but it can sense movement in the sectors. And so you can kind of go dark. You can announce what sector you're in. You can announce noise in another sector. Mm. And the aliens are trying to kill the humans before they get to escape pods in the corners. It's great. It's such a cool game.
Is it a co-op-y game or a versus game?
It's a co-op-y game, but you don't know who the other aliens are or who the other humans are.
Mm.
So once you figure that out, then you can kind of be co-op-y. Mm-hmm. But it's still
versus in some way, right?
Like it's still versus in some way. Yeah. All right.
That's cool. Yeah. I like the sound of that.
So cool. Yeah, so Iceworm brought that one. Then last night, we got together with Corinne and Jason. Corinne, as people who've been to Nerdtacular know, she's one of the people that make Nerdtacular happen. And that's like an understatement of
what she does. She's Queen Bee, as far as I'm concerned.
She really is. And so we were talking about music, and they're in town to see Alt-J at Red Rocks. And so we got together for dinner, and that's why I missed Game of Thrones. That's why I missed Raid last night. I missed everything last night. So catching up on all that tonight. Then tonight, Mitsula is going to be in town. He flew to Minneapolis, and he's driving back to Vegas through Denver. And we're going to get to see him tonight, too. As a matter of fact, he's staying here, so we might get a glimpse of Mitsula tomorrow morning for TMS.
Oh, that'd be great.
Before he makes the drive to Vegas and somehow smuggles me in his trunk.
Nice. If there's a guy you want on your side in Vegas, it's Mitsula.
Oh, no doubt about it, for sure.
I had somebody the other day ask me if I knew a bookie in Vegas. And I said, I do.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he's a bookie. I don't know if he'll
a bookie, no.
Yeah.
Not in that way.
He's an odds maker. I mean, he sets the odds. And,
sure. It's not quite the same as a bookie, but...
No.
Anyway, the reason that this is interesting is because the guy who asked me, and I thought of Mitsula's name, is this millionaire dude.
Oh.
Who wants to go spend huge money in Vegas, I guess.
But doesn't want to actually travel to Vegas to do it.
I think that's the deal. So anyway, people with money, man, they have problems I don't have. I'll tell you
that. No kidding. Jeez.
Anyway, well, that's good. I'm glad. And there are concerts tonight at Red Rock, and they're excited about it, they said.
Red Rocks, which, the best place to see a concert. It's probably going to rain on them because it always rains on concerts at Red Rocks.
Yeah. It's raining today, I think, isn't it? Where you guys?
It's already a little overcast, but we're holding out hope that they're not going to see rain for the show.
Well, that'd be good.
Yeah.
And then finally, Brian, your long international nightmare is over.
That's right. You figured it out.
Yeah.
Scott, I'm holding in my hands.
Whoa.
An orange cube.
Oh, phew. Oh, look at that. Look at the cube, you guys. It looks like a little, it looks like a starburst that got screwed up.
It kind of does, or a die that doesn't have dots on the side.
Yeah.
This, my friends, is the first thing I've printed on my 3D printer since the beginning of June. After playing Smoke Signals with our friends in Spain, the really helpful people in customer support at Witbox, we finally got my printer working. I printed out a test this morning and this afternoon. It is back to all systems go.
Nice.
Printing.
So what did it turn out to be? Is it easy to say, okay, it was the blank?
Here's what I think it was. So I think the wire chain needed to be replaced. I think there was a short in somewhere in the wire chain that was causing the extruder to misprint when it got to the middle.
Yeah.
Now after I replaced the wire chain and it just wasn't moving with the jog wheel, we assumed that there was another problem in there. And so we replaced the ramps board and we replaced some other things and got all that working. The problem I think with that was the software. I still can't use the jog wheel to turn the extruder, but I don't need to. You know, basically loading filament turns the extruder just fine. Yeah. Printing an object obviously turns the extruder just fine. So it's really just a matter of somewhere in the software, the G codes for turning the extruder aren't working, and I can live with that.
Yeah.
So we replaced everything in that printer.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you're printing things, and there's no reason to think it's not going to print now, right?
Right, exactly. So I'm going to print something a little bit more substantial later today after the show, and we'll see. We'll see how things go. But I'm ready to say that I think this thing is back in business.
When I first read this, I thought Orange Cube was another printer you bought or something.
Oh, yeah, no. But there is a printer that looks like an Orange Cube. I think you guys have...
Yeah, ours is, well, it's not orange, but it's like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Ours is white, but I think you can get those in different colors, yeah. I think you're probably right. Speaking of which, our extruder's all gummed up. I got to get that thing cleaned out.
Oh, yeah. Clean that out.
Clean out your extruders, everybody.
Boy, I at least have an excuse.
Yeah, I don't
know. You don't have an excuse,
Scott. No, we have a perfectly working printer with a gummed up extruder because I got lazy. It's me. It's actually Nick's job. I'm blaming him.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, that's
his freaking
fault.
What
can you
do? Yeah. All right.
So, printing back on.
That's good. Everybody get your printer back on because Brian's back in the game.
That's
and,
right.
There's no holding him back now because time is time. All right, here's this. Joining us on the line is one and the only Brian Dunaway. Hello.
Oh, hi.
You sound so sexy today. What's up with that?
Mm. Oh, thank you. I put my saxophone on, so I'm good to go.
That's pretty hot stuff, dude. Hey,
I didn't answer right away. I'm screening all my calls because it's been 24 hours since I made that hateful statement about horses yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And I'm getting a lot of grief from horses.
Yeah, I put that episode up, and I've already gotten a number of emails trying to figure out why Brian Dunaway hates horses so much.
Wow.
And here's the thing. I don't think you ever stated or would ever say that you hate the animal horse. You just don't like movies about horses. Right?
No, I think he really doesn't like horses in real life because of his incident.
Oh, right. Oh, you don't like horses, period.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say... See, don't confuse hate with don't trust.
Okay. No, okay. No, there's a difference. You don't trust horses.
Trust them. I don't want to see a movie about them because everything they say is a lie.
All right.
Oh, hey, you know what? You know what movie I can tell you can go see?
What's that?
Go see Dunkirk. There isn't a single horse in the whole movie, and the movie is fan-freaking-tastic.
Oh, you saw the Dunkirk, did you?
Saw it yesterday afternoon. Oh, my God. So good.
Okay. All right. That seems to be the consensus. People like that movie.
Your boy, your Tom Hardy, man. He kicks butt. He kicks major butt in this movie.
Is he... Is he a German?
His name is Kirk.
Is he a German in this?
He's Kirk. Not German.
Okay, he's not a German. His name is Kirk, really? His name's not Kirk.
No, his name is not Kirk.
Not.
No, as a matter of fact, there's only one person's name that I remember actually hearing in the film.
Mm.
A really? Character named George. I think that there's so little dialogue, so much action. I think, you know, there's things that don't need to be done. You don't need exposition. You don't need this character's name is this and this character's name is that. So
how's the One Direction kid? Is he all right?
Oh yeah. He's really good. I completely forgot that was him. Mm-hmm. Holy cow.
Yeah. It's the Liam, is it? Or Ding Dong. What's the kid's name?
Ding Dong. Is he the one just went solo, or is that the other one?
No.
No, Harry Styles is the solo kid.
That's it. No, that's it.
Well, the others went solo, too, though.
No. Harry Styles is the guy in the movie.
How did it go from horses to One Direction?
Oh, it is Harry Styles in the movie.
Yeah, okay. Harry Styles did not go solo. It's the other guy, Malik or Marnak.
Middle-aged white guys talk about fans.
But here's the thing. They're all about to go solo. Let's be honest with ourselves.
Neil or Zane or
Zane,
Liam?
Zane. He went solo. But I only know this because my niece is really into him. But here's the thing with One Direction. They're all about to go solo if they're not already. They are. Right, this is the stage they're at. It's like the Bob's Burgers band. They have a boy band on Bob's Burgers called Boys for Now. That's what's going on. They're all boys for now. But soon there'll be men.
We've had plenty of boy bands over the past. We know exactly how many make it out. One.
Yeah.
One per boy band.
One per boy band is all you get. So with NSYNC, you got, what's his name? Can't think of his name.
Marky Mark?
No. Yeah.
Justin Timberlake?
Yeah.
And
wait, Marky Mark didn't. You're thinking of Marky Mark's.
Marky Mark was a new kid on the block.
No, it was his brother who was.
Oh, his brother was the new kid on the block.
Donnie.
Yeah, Donnie.
Yeah, Donnie. I'm sorry.
But he made it out. We'll say he made it. Sure. Like nobody else in that band did.
Nah.
I say band very loosely. Okay, who else is there? There's
There's Bobby Brown. I mean, you could argue Belle Biv DeVoe came along.
Yeah,
are they really a boy band? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Kinda.
How about the somebody came out of Ricky Martin came out of Menudo. Yeah,
Menudo. I forgot about Menudo.
Right.
Michael Jackson came out of the Jackson 5. I mean, I think you're right. The one per boy band rule holds. That's a funny thing. I'd never thought about that.
True, yeah. Who's our new kid on the block that, I mean, you can't really say Donnie Wahlberg.
No.
Is Aaron Carter the most popular new kid on the block?
Aaron Carter.
That's a good argument.
Oh, you're thinking of Nick Carter. Or is it Aaron Carter? Who's Nick Carter? One of them's Nick Carter. And the reason I say that is because I'll yell Nick Carter in the house and they'll go, international famous boy band name, Dad. And they'll make fun of me. But I can't
think
of
it. Good news is telling me Aaron Carter is not from New Kids on the Block. So it must be Nick Carter.
Yeah, it must be Nick Carter.
But Aaron Carter must be his little brother.
But he's like some kind of heroin addict or something. He's like all messed up, that guy. Anyway, whatever. Boy bands, schmoy bands. Let's pull somebody in for a little contest here.
Totally okay with all the stuff that we just showed we don't know.
Yeah, there's somebody. Oh, gosh, that was loud. Okay, here's some people. Let's bring in, let's see, John Yee West. John Yee, kind of like Kanye.
I like it.
Or is it John Yee West? Is that how you say it, John? Hello?
Probably.
Hey, Scott.
Probably
how are you?
Oh, hi.
Last time it was you.
Hi, how are you? Is this John?
John Yee, man. Just like Kanye. I've written into
John Yee. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can totally hear you. Yeah. Are you, you're not married to a Kardashian, are you?
This is John.
Hello, John. Oh, he must be hearing us twice.
Nope.
I'll bet he's hearing
turn
us
off.
Too.
Turn
so off
listen
your stream.
To your Discord. Don't listen to your
no, thank
feed.
God.
he's still answering the Kardashian question from before.
Yeah, I turned off the stream. Sorry about that.
You're fine. All right, can you hear us now?
Good.
Can you hear us?
Oh, boy.
Oh, John Yee. I'm going to have to pull in somebody else, buddy. Sorry. 9 of 12. 9 of 12. Whoa. Are you there? 9 of 12. Nope.
It's probably a horse messing with me.
He's not answering either. Let's.
Oh.
Oh, did I hear something? Maybe we lost him. 9 of 12. Are you there?
How you doing?
Oh, good.
Oh,
hi. There you are. Hi. How are you? Hello.
Why can't I hear you?
I don't know.
Oh no! Is it Scott?
No, it isn't me. I swear. Oh, you know what? No, it's not me. I'm in there. I am voice connected. It's showing me talking. I think.
Hello.
Can you hear us?
Here we go. Can you hear us?
Can you hear us? Okay.
Yes, I can.
Oh, good. There you are. Hi. Hi. How are you?
Just peachy. How are you?
I'm fine. 9 of 12. Is that a Borg reference?
Sort of. Okay. We've been through this. My name is September.
Oh, that's
so I
right.
Have a built-in designation.
Oh, right. Hey, September.
Do you remember the 9 of 12 of December? September. All right. Anyway, hey.
Got a little bit of lag, but I think we can live with
this. Yeah, it was all fine. It's good to have you here. Thank you for being a part of this. Brian's going to explain the rules and see if you can win. Brian, go ahead.
Well, September, you'll be hearing the rules in about 8 seconds. We're going to be asking we're going to be asking Dunaway a trivia question. Why do I still have Daryl on my mind for this thing?
I don't know.
We're going to be asking Brian Dunaway a trivia question here in just a moment, and he's going to give his answer. The answer is going to be numeric in style. Then we're going to turn to you and ask you if the answer, the real answer, holy cow, maybe I should write this crap down, is higher or lower than Dunaway's guess. If you are correct today, you win a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle goo toy and a Star Trek book.
Nice.
I'm glad you clarified goo toy and
yes.
not just goo.
Yeah. Toys.
I'll clear it up here. It's Teenage
Turtle goo.
It's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ooze action glow-in-the-dark series. It's Leonardo, the turtle there. So you'd be getting that. And The Wit and Wisdom of Star Trek by Rob Perlman.
Ooh, yeah. Sweet.
Star Trek has been entertaining and inspiring millions of fans for longer than its original five-year mission. Boldly go into the classic collection of original series and fascinating moments, quotes, and trivia. A lot of pictures in here, too. Whoop, there's Sulu doing the sword dance. Okay, anyway, so this is real cool. We'll send you both these things. If you win today, Brian, what is our topic?
Your category today is the Guinness Book of World Records.
Ooh, very nice. Here's your question, Brian Dunaway. You like a good record, don't you?
I used to love collecting these books and just reading through them, just thumbing through. Look at all the weirdos.
I like that,
too. Look at all the weird stuff they're doing.
Yep, all the weirdos doing weird things. Joe Wall created the world's largest rubber band ball, and it was measured in 2008 for the Guinness Book of World Records. How much does this rubber band ball weigh? He won't wait, but weigh. Answer can be either pounds or kilograms, and I'll give you a hint. It's somewhere between 2,000 and 10,000 kilograms, or 5,000 and 15,000 pounds, whichever which way you want to go there with the numbers.
Give me the pounds again. What'd you say?
Somewhere between 5,000, I don't remember, and 15,000.
And 15,000. Okay, so you're asking me a question about the weight of a rubber band ball that was in the Guinness Book of World Records for diameter.
Yeah, well, right, correct. Let's see.
The largest, yes, the largest.
Yeah, so it's not.
The diameter would be too easy. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know why this isn't the question about the diameter. That's a good question. Why is it about the weight of the thing, I guess?
Well, because you don't measure. The Guinness Book of World Record won't say what the weight is. Like, it'll be, well, it'll probably say what the weight is. But I think it's to be the world's largest, not the world's heaviest, it's going to be, you measure the diameter or the circumference.
Well, that's why I'm wondering why the question's about pounds or kilograms.
Or the number of rubber bands?
Yeah, or the number of rubber bands.
I think probably, yeah.
I'll say, let me weigh this rubber band right quick, and I'll do some math. All right.
Just take one of those.
Right, one of those times.
A lot.
Oh, my God. I know. Pie's going to be involved, I'm sure.
Yeah, get some pie in there.
I have a logistics question about giant rubber band balls.
I do.
We can talk about this while we're waiting.
I bet it's the same one I have about how you... Well, you go ahead and ask it. Let me see if it's the same.
Yeah, so once the ball is large enough that a typical rubber band that you get wrapped around the newspaper doesn't fit around it, what do you do? Do you tie rubber bands together and stretch it around it, or what?
Or do you have bigger bands? Maybe.
How big is the largest rubber band that's around this ball?
Whole separate category of Guinness Book of World Records. How big is your rubber band? No, I think I think your tie it together idea is probably right. I can't imagine anything else, because what else could you do unless you had custom rubber bands that were made to be record breakers or something? That seems crazy to me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But also, I know you can get rubber bands I can get foot long ones. I've seen them. So in theory, those are
subs. I know they're chewy like rubber bands, but that's Subway subs.
Oh shoot! I've been ordering the wrong food at the wrong place.
Too. Yeah, they're right. They're kind of pricey for rubber bands. Okay, so between 5,000 and 15,000 pounds, my guess is going to be 6,658 pounds.
Wow! Look at that number you came to so specifically, Brian. Is that correct?
6,658 pounds is incorrect. Ooh. September, is the actual answer higher or lower than 6,658 pounds?
I'm going to say higher.
Higher than that. Wow, look at the bravery on our contestant. Let's see how this goes. Is that correct? Is it higher?
Congratulations.
It totally is.
You're a winner. Uh-huh.
It is 4,000. 4,097 kilograms, or here's the pounds number, 9,032 pounds, almost 10,000 pounds.
Wow.
There's a video of this happening. Maybe this will answer our question, Brian. Let's see. About how they do it. Let's see here. Okay. I'm pulling up a video. Oh, gosh. I may have to turn off the sound.
I'm known as the rubber band man. The real rubber band man. That's what they call
them. Oh, look at those rubber bands. Oh, they're huge.
Okay, so they just have big rubber bands.
I built the world's largest rubber band ball. Hopefully today it will be the world's largest, minus weighed by game.
I'm just happy to see Snoop Dogg getting doing other things.
But interesting though, like, did you? So he said that that it's going to be weighed by the Guinness Book of World Records, as opposed to it's going to be measured. The circumference is going to be measured by Guinness Book of World Records. Doesn't seem like unless Guinness is digging into the middle of that thing mm-hmm. and finding out there's not like a couple cinder blocks in the center.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, I have an answer for that.
You do?
Want to know.
Yeah, I would love to know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
My husband is in the world of Guinness World Records because our town did the longest running live music performance. And Guinness actually, they have people that watch the entire process when these records are broken. It's all witnessed or live, like streamed to them in some kind of setup.
Wow. Really? That's crazy.
So while he was putting it together, he had those guys sitting there watching him. That's awesome.
Well, they'd have to, right? Because you got to keep everybody, it all on the up and up. Because inside of that rubber band thing, it'd be very easy to just hide weight in there, you know? Like you could put
a body in the middle of it.
You could you could totally have a big old fat guy right in the middle of that thing. You totally could. By the
with
way,
that chewy center.
Nice secondary thing I wanted to mention here. The Guinness Book of World Records has an official YouTube channel, and they show like all these records being performed or built or confirmed or whatever on here. This may be a rabbit hole I'm going down later. Oh yeah, look at this.
Oh yeah, no kidding. Look at this. And he's presenting him with a plaque. Boy, this rubber band ball kind of disheveled. I'm a little disappointed. It, you know, I'm sure the inside is nice and like a tight rubber band ball,
mm-hmm,
right. but the outside is like scarves, you know, wrapped gently around it and stuff.
So what exactly is the stopping point on doing a rubber band? Is it because the previous record, or is it when your arms get tired?
I don't know. Why wouldn't you keep going? That's a good point.
Running
rubber
bands?
Keep going just enough to beat the record, and then you're tired and want to go do something else.
Yeah, we reached out to Snoop Dogg.
My
and
life.
Asked him. He didn't get back to us. Oh, actually, no. We just got word from Snoop Dogg. He says this. Here you go.
Smoke weed every day.
Okay, that's how you do it. That's what you do. Congratulations!
Oh, wow.
And well
Somebody's
done.
About to take a saw and cut a rubber band ball in half. I can't imagine.
Oh, I'm gonna have to watch that.
Watch that later.
Well done, 9 of 12. You've done it. September, that is. And you've won. So send me an email, and I'll send you this stuff, along with a couple extra little prints thrown in there. If you send an email to scott@frogpants.com, I will hook you up. And that is it. Brian Dunaway, thank you so much for hanging with us. It's always good to be here on Mondays and Wednesdays. In fact, this will be like the first regular week in a while since you've been sitting in for Brian while he's been out of town.
Yeah.
Right. True story.
Yeah.
That's right.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah.
No Vegas this time.
No Vegas. Also, don't forget, just put up a film sack that was great. If you want to hear all about your horse hate, filmsack.com is where you can get that. Anything else you'd like to tell the fine people?
Well, I do a podcast once a week also called Comics Coast to Coast. Check it out.
Yeah. Comics people interviewed by you and people like you.
Correct.
Check it out. The Brian Dunaway on Twitter. Bye. All right, he's out.
I can't wait till he has to interview somebody who draws horses for their comics.
Oh, dude, you know they're out there too. Can he even
they're
watch?
Totally
I should have asked if he can even watch like My Little Pony without like throwing up or something.
I imagine their animated horses are probably fine, but I think War Horse is probably not on the list for his Netflix queue.
Or Black Beauty or Secretariat or any of those.
Right, exactly.
He hates those.
Seabiscuit.
All right, speaking of Seabiscuits, well, not really Seabiscuits. But how about instead of talking about Seabiscuit, let's talk about Magic. Magic. No, seriously, Magic. Magic is a 24/7 based, text-based personal assistant. That is to say, it runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it's your personal assistant, and they're sponsoring this episode. It's the best way to accomplish more, especially those nagging tasks you keep putting off for that free time that never arrives. With Magic, you send a text message with your request, and it can be business or personal, doesn't matter. Real people do remote work to help you with anything that needs to get done. Some of these common requests include things like paying bills, making reservations, booking travel. Team can handle whatever you want, though. They can research local contractors and help you select the right one, order groceries or meals to be delivered right around your schedule, or even help you plan and organize a gathering. You know, like a wedding reception. That sounds all right. Whatever the project, big or small, Magic can help. Magic is available nationwide, and we've got a special deal for you that allows for you to try Magic for 3 hours for free. That's a $110 value. 3 hours, 100% free, $110 value. Go to getmagic.com/TMS. That's getmagic.com/TMS. or text TMS to 83489. We got stuff to do that needs to get done, but you don't have time to do it. Magic can help make it happen. We thank them for sponsoring this show. All right. Not really, but hey, it's the news brought to you by...
that poor guy in the can at the wedding.
Okay, so I could tell you this one real fast. I'm in the bathroom. I'm in the wedding toilet there.
Uh-huh. And, the wedding toilet?
Yeah, the wedding toilet.
And, the official...
and I'm and there's two stalls, and I'm in one, and... guy next to me is having a time. He's having a rough time.
Oh, no.
And I could tell he was older, like probably way older, and he was really bearing down and just having a hard time. And he gave me three or four courtesy flushes. Now, they were either courtesy flushes because he was trying to cover the grunting sounds, or he was just moving so much that the sensor thing behind him was just going off.
Right.
Which makes me feel even worse because he was probably 82.
Or he's just trying to keep the stench down, too.
It could be that. But this thing was one of those, you know, like just tear you, rip you a new one kind of toilets. And I was worried he was going to be scared. And I almost opened the door and said, come on, Grandpa, let me help you.
Yeah, need me to bring you something? Want some X-Lax or
a little something, something? Need a coat hanger? Anyway,
oh jeez,
it's not good, is it? No. All right, we got a story from a heroin addict here. So
okay, good.
So tuck in. This is a good one. I'm not a heroin addict. I just ate a Morrison's bread roll, says a dad who said that's why he failed drug tests. The guy was suspended from work, claiming that it was because he ate poppy seeds. This is a thing you always hear about.
Yeah,
I was wondering if that was fake because.
Mythbusters did a thing on that, and they determined that if you eat enough, then yes, it'll show up as you'll fail a drug test, or it'll show up on a drug test. Mm. But you have to eat like an entire poppy seed, you know, not just a roll, but like a cup of poppy seeds.
So if I ate a muffin with poppy seeds on it, I'm probably fine.
You're probably fine. Yeah.
Okay, because I did that once and then passed the test, and I thought it was bullcrap, but maybe it's a volume thing, like you say.
Right. Right.
Well, he was suspended from work. Father of two, does not want to be named, said he was suspended for, 11 weeks from his job as a pipe fitter. He fits pipes.
So he's on the crack.
Yeah, he's on the crack, fitting pipes. After a random drug test showed morphine derived from opium in his system, he claimed that the positive reading in March is the result of eating Morrison's poppy seed buns, a poppy seed bread brand, both of which he had eaten the day before the test. After receiving the shock results to prove his innocence, he privately paid £120 for a hair follicle test, which came back negative, and he got a letter from his GP, which proved he had never been on any prescribed medication, such as morphine or painkillers, which contains the opiates as well. So, according to the 58-year-old, I am a married dad and have two grown-up children, and I never take them drugs. I was very shocked and wanted to get to the bottom of what this was. I thought to myself, I have something in my body. I have no idea where it came from.
This is Liverpool. You've got to say it like you're a Beatle.
That's right. That's true. I'm talking like he's from Texas.
I've never taken any heroin, Paul.
I've got two grown children. Mine always goes a little Irish when I do that voice.
A little bit. It's hard not to.
Yeah.
It's a tie. Okay, I believe the fact that he's not a drug addict.
Yeah,
but
a drug
maybe I'm thinking that the maybe the story is sensational and maybe not true.
Probably the case.
Yeah,
that's how these things go.
Because one muffin is not going to, or I mean, a Morrison's bread roll is not gonna. Yeah. I don't think it's going to show up on a report or fail a drug test. I don't know.
From the Liverpool Echo is the newspaper. Yeah. So who knows?
Yeah.
A bear. Mm-hmm. Let me get that word out. A bear broke into an SUV and then took it for a drive.
Okay. Speaking of this seems believable.
This is pretty good. A bear broke into an SUV early Friday in Durango. It was not a Durango though.
So. This is Colorado.
Yeah. Well, hey, Colorado connection.
I think if it's the Durango in Colorado, and I'm guessing it is.
It's the only one I know of.
Yeah.
Took it for a short ride, rolling it out of a driveway and crashing into a mailbox. Not a very good driver. The commotion woke Ron Cornelius and his wife, both apes.
Sorry, Ron Cornelius. Like, sounds just like the guy who used to host Soul Train.
Oh, no way.
It was Don Cornelius, yeah.
Don and Ron, yeah.
Yeah.
Who found the trash Subaru in their yard on Timberline Drive and Timberline View Estates. Does that sound like Colorado yet?
Yeah, that, well, I don't know any streets out there, but I'm pretty sure. I'm looking to see if they have like a weather thing on their page, and that should totally confirm it for me. Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is Durango, Colorado. We have bears, though.
Yeah.
It certainly could be. Yeah.
Bears are, it's a Western United States thing. So mm-hmm. usually I don't get up at 5 o'clock unless there's a bear driving a car down the street, Cornelius joked. I'm glad they put joked there and not just said so that we were sure.
We thought he was serious.
Yeah. Want to make sure that was a joke I was hearing. After the bear broke into the car, it likely released the parking brake somehow. The couple didn't see the bear leave the SUV, or sorry, didn't see the bear leave the SUV, but called 911 anyway after the crash because they didn't know if people were to blame and possible there might be people still in the vehicle. That's a smart thing to do. Don't go out there.
Yeah, and look. Yeah, probably.
The car rolled backwards from a neighbor's home in Cornelius's mailbox or into his mailbox and over some utility boxes. Ooh. La Plata County. Is that now? Is that a county?
Yeah. Yeah. That's Colorado.
It's
yeah.
Gotta be Plata. Then. Let's see. Office deputies determined a bear was to blame because it defecated in the car. Likely because it was nervous, he says.
Yeah. Likely because it just ran over a mailbox. Oh,
oh yeah! Shoot. No, oh, I'm out. It also ripped up the interior of the vehicle, pulled the steering wheel straight off the shaft, ripped the radio out of the dash, and busted out the back window. So there you go.
Why did it have to mess with the radio? Come on.
I think that's really just funny. It's like,
it's just being a dick.
Where's Rush Limbaugh? I'm yanking on that thing.
Rip out the radio and poop on the seat. Bad, I'm out of here. Like, thanks for leaving those Snickers wrappers in the trash.
Yeah, no kidding. Now to McDonald's for some news.
All right, sure.
A horrified customer watched a naked man inject drugs into his testicles. You sure this was not a jack-in-the-box in Vegas? Because I've seen something like this. A woman described her horror after seeing a naked man injecting drugs into his testes outside the toilets of a city center branch of McDonald's. This is also in Liverpool, by the way.
Wow, the Liverpool Echo delivering two of today's stories.
Yeah, that's some kind of record. Merseyside Police... Why is that name familiar? Mersey.
Mersey. Gives you ferry across the Mersey.
Oh, the Mersey. Is that a river then?
It is, yeah.
A lake or something.
Ferry across the Mersey. Because this land's the place I love. Gary and the Pacemakers, I think. I know Frankie Goes to Hollywood did a cover of it, but I want to say Gary and the Pacemakers did that first.
Those guys were always telling me to relax. It's like, come on, don't do
that. And then they tell you don't do it.
Yep.
So which is it?
Yep. Oh, by the way, Atomic Blonde, Patrick saw it and hated it. Speaking of foreign people.
He really?
Hated it, yeah.
Wow.
I think it's got problems, but I liked it fine. Merseyside police confirmed they were called to the Lord Street branch of the fast food restaurant at around 8:30 a.m. on July 8th, and they said the man has exposed himself to women, but he was doing more than that. An eyewitness who told the Echo about her ordeal did not want to be named, described how the naked man was lifting up his genitals and injecting himself with drugs through a needle into his scrotum.
Wow. That's what you just, I mean, you know,
yeesh.
I don't know. I don't know if that's just directly right into the pleasure center or something, if that's
ugh.
Why you'd put it there, but...
Is it, though? Is that where you're going to find it? I don't think so. That's a bad place to put in. I don't care where... You know what? The worst place to put a needle is your pleasure. Wherever your pleasure centers are. I don't care where it is. A needle in there messes up. It's going to break it. It's going to ruin it. Don't do it. She claims the man was making strange noises through the incident. The man was then locked in the toilets. I love the way the British talk about bathrooms. Locked in the toilets.
Locked in the toilets.
We left him in there.
We wrapped him in the loo.
Yeah.
Trapped him.
They kept him in there. This lady says she goes in for her cup of tea every morning before work. They have cups of tea at McDonald's in Liverpool. Wow.
Sure. Well, you can get that. You can get tea in the regular McDonald's.
Can you right now?
Hot tea? Sure. I'm sure you can.
Really? I never knew that.
Yeah. I know you can get iced tea. I don't see why you can't get it hot.
Let's see. Oh, that's awful. Why would you put in the... That's all I'm reading of that. I can't... I'm shifting around in my chair for reasons now.
I know.
Sounds awful. Finally, a story that you'll wish I hadn't told you.
Oh, there's another one?
Yeah. There's something... Somebody sent this to me. Thank you, listener, who sent this, I guess. Thank you. I don't know if I really am thankful. But anyway, a Japanese turd robot that spews diarrhea. That's the headline.
Why am I clicking this link?
This robot is called Dorod or Robo. It's a robotic demon turd that walks around spewing diarrhea out to the top of its head. Why? More like, why not?
Oh, this is horrible.
It's really bad. I don't know why it exists. It's not real, obviously, so people don't get too worked up. But that's
it's Robo.
There he is doing what he does. Oh, the Robo. Oh gosh, it's an actual robot. Here's a video I'll play for you. It's a little something here on YouTube.
じゃあ、ドロドロボって言ったらスタートでしょ。
All right.
ドロドロボ。ドロドロボスイッチオン。
All right, turns it on. Boy, they think that is funny. Why would you do this? I'm completely horrified by that.
Because Japan.
It's
that's
Japan.
Why.
The answer is because Japan. All right. On that note, yeah. Let's take a break. When we come back, Trek Nerd. No Steven today. He had a dental appointment. He's not going to be here. Okay. But Trek Nerd will be here. So come back for that. We got some stuff going on. Music, though? You got a little thing?
Sure. I've got music for you. Okay. I've got music from a French band, a French pop band called Comet with two T's, C-O-M-E-T-T. This is their second album. First album was called My Reality is Your Fiction. They're back to with a new album called Back to Reality. A little bit harder edge on this second album, and I love this. And I downloaded all of them, and I downloaded all the tracks. It was tough to try and figure out which was the best track to play on the show. The one I decided on is a song called Love 2.0. Here is the band Comet from their brand new album, Back to Reality, Love 2.0.
What I've missed again, I can't tell.
I'm on MySpace, I'm on Friendster, and there's a new network called Facebook, which I think is going to be really influential. So I know how to reach young people.
It's not about assholes, really.
This is the morning stream. It's a rat turd.
And we're back, everybody. Oh, that was weird. Okay, there we go. Camera went okay. Funky. Hello and welcome back. I liked that quite a bit.
Yeah.
Was it in another language or was I imagining that?
Nope. It was. There was some French in there. There was a mix of French and English. So, so I'm glad you played Patrick.
Yeah.
At the end of that.
Yeah, he's definitely a mix of French and English for sure. But don't tell him that. I get mad because he thinks the English we're talking about is the UK, and we don't want any kind of trouble.
Oh, you know.
No trouble from us. All right, Daryl time. Grab your chicken and drop your licking. We're going to bring him in.
I always like to see what you're going to rhyme for that second one.
I never know what to say. Let's see. We need a theme, though. How about a little... how about this one right here? Nope. How about this one?
Hello, and welcome to Universal Studios' Star Trek Adventure, courtesy of Paramount Pictures. I'm Gene Roddenberry, and some of you may know me as the creator of Star Trek.
Hey, Daryl, what's going on?
Oh, just doing work.
Do you think he...
testing the ship's phasers.
Do you think he walked around the set and stuff, talked like that? Like, no, listen, Shatner, you need to give Leonard a little more space. Do you think that's what happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all producers do that from right. Breaking Bad and... Yeah. Everybody else.
Yeah. The lisp is part of the job. I understand. Hey, you're here. Hey, is anyone in this room? Sorry, this is a total non sequitur. Has anybody seen the Killing, the AMC now turned Netflix show, The Killing?
We watched the first two seasons of it just to fill it out, just to finish the mystery. And it's a much better show if you binge watch it.
Yeah.
Is my opinion. Because the slow week after week.
Yeah.
Oh, it was painful.
Painful. I'm watching it bingy now.
Yeah.
Season one is where I'm at. I'm not.
Michelle Forbes is fan freaking tastic in that.
She's really good. Real good. I guess I'm a little surprised how much I like it. I'm not even. Yeah. It's a kind of a procedural about one killing. And that's okay. But I thought I wouldn't like it. And I kind of really like it. Mm-hmm. They really captured.
Joel Kinnaman's great.
They really captured how. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's RoboCop in the new RoboCop movie, isn't he?
Right, not Deadshot. He was in Suicide Squad.
Black Flag, something Flag.
Randall Flag, isn't it?
No, Randall Flag's from the Stephen King
books.
Oh,
from, yes, the Dark Tower. American Flag.
American Flag. Bum Flag. What is it, chat room? You guys have to tell us. Anyway, I just really like it, and I wanted to say that. Hey, Daryl's here to talk about Star Trek stuff. We're rapidly approaching the release of Discovery and also potentially some other stuff. let's talk first, though, about these McFarlane toys. So anytime Todd McFarlane's toy company says they're working on something cool, I get really excited because their stuff is super rad. And you've found news that they've got some things happening. So who are we getting, and how much are they going to cost?
Well, way in the future, in the fall of 2018, we will get figures and toys, including a screen accurate phaser for $39.99.
That's not
and
bad.
That's not $3,999 either. That's just $39.99.
There's a decimal in the middle of that.
Yeah. Are these for the new show or this stuff in general? Okay.
Yep, they're Discovery things.
All right. So like Tacumva. Is the name of this Klingon leader guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's one of them. Let's see. And the other one is going to be of Burnham, who is the main lady.
Hi, mm-hmm. Burnham.
Hi, Burnham. And she's 7 inches, so is Tacumva.
Yep, and they are $19.99.
And the phaser will be a phaser based on Discovery's design of the phaser, which you've gone on the record already and said you like, right?
Yeah, I do like it. Right. Yep.
You think $40 is too steep? You feel all right?
Oh, no, that's great. There's a TOS one out there that's $150, and I think that's fair.
Okay, well, there you go then. There's also a 10-inch Kirk buried in Tribbles. So that's cool.
I'm not sure how the tribbles come off of it, because you can repose Kirk if you want to. So.
You can unbury him from the tribbles.
Oh, you really can? Can you?
I think so. It says you can repose him, so he has to come out of the tribbles.
That one.
Yeah, we need a photo of this one. Hold on, tribbles.
There may not be one yet. Oh, there is one.
Well, no, that looks like an older.
Here we go.
I don't know if this is. This is definitely not, because it's the same. It's the same tribble, photoshopped over and over and over and over on top of a Kirk. So that's definitely not.
That's never good. We need some tribble variation or variety of our tribbles.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, they've got some new Picard and Kirk stuff shown. Well, there's more than just these. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. I want all these. That has to make you excited, because that McFarlane toy stuff, serious business.
Oh, yeah, that is good stuff. Yeah. Except if you're a prop maker and you want to make some money, they're going to put you out of business.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. That's fine. Bill will be all right. All right. Let's
they'll only put you out of business if you only make one phaser.
Producer Ted Sullivan has something to say about Star Trek never being about the ships and sets and costumes and props. Now, I would take some issue with him, but I think I understand what he's saying. Do you think this is... Give us the full quote, and why do you think it's good?
Okay, the full quote is pretty much what you just said, but I'll say it again anyway. Star Trek has never been about the ships and the sets and the costumes and props for me. It's always what is the metaphor that they are exploring in that episode or that movie.
Right. So whatever thing, like if it's totalitarianism or what is life? Just trying to figure out when is life... a life and when isn't it a life, and questions about Picard's making out with that lady who's not really a lady and not really a man, she's like something in between, so what is gender anyway, those kinds of things. That's what he means.
It's about people, it's about their interactions, it's about their failings and their successes. I think that's great to hear.
Yeah, it's more than just about those characters' failings. It's about they can illustrate things like racial issues without it being racial. They can actually there were things in the old show that tackled the civil rights movement, but because people are green and it's set in space and freaking mud's walking around, you can get away with it in a way that you couldn't if you were trying to make a straight story about the civil rights movement in the 60s.
NBC would have stomped that out immediately if he hadn't snuck it by him.
Yeah, and that old, famous thing about Kirk kissing, what's her name, Uhura.
Mm-hmm.
That would never happen in any other context during that time. Like, you would not have an interracial kiss on TV. Mm-hmm. And they got away with it. Why? Because they're dealing with some future time that, I don't know, almost in some ways it feels sneaky. Like, they can get around the normal system by pretending it's in space. Which I guess is kind of the point. Yeah,
they were being mind controlled, so that's their
excuse.
Yeah,
exactly. It's like, oh well, it's fine if a black lady and a white guy kiss, as long as they've been mind controlled. Which says a lot about people in the 60s. But anyway, so I think they're right. However, I do want to make this one point. That doesn't mean you should skimp on that stuff he says that it's not about. In other words, I'm not saying they're skimping, but the sets and the ships and the costumes, that stuff does matter. In that you have to, to a point, you don't want
it to look hokey and stupid.
Right. Well, not too hokey and too stupid anyway. Mm-hmm. So I hope that they take care with that stuff as well and just give us both. That's what we really want. TNG was really good at that. TNG was about set and interface and design and costume and all that stuff. It's definitely of its time, but it did a really great job with that stuff and kept the focus on people. And that's good.
Yep.
Also, Discovery will be serialized, meaning what happens in one episode affects each character moving forward. So this is serial television, a lot like the way Voyager did it. So not just villain of the week. I'm a little torn on this, because some of the best Star Trek is villain of the week style.
They could still have that.
Yeah.
But then if something happens like they run into the Borg, you're not just okay in the next episode.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't reset at the beginning of the next episode. Like DS9 did that really well too.
Yeah, DS9 had a lot of that going through it.
Yeah. And like my 7-year-old daughter says, when cartoon characters get killed or injured, they just respawn. That's what she says.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Discovery won't be like that. It's not going to be like a cartoon.
Wile E. Coyote has like an 8-second wait before he can spawn again to attack Roadrunner.
Yeah, it's like a video game. It's like playing Battlefield. It's two-player one-on-one Battlefield. But I do like sometimes that whole, like, we have some of the best episodes in Star Trek history have been one-off episodes, right?
Oh yeah.
Now, or multi-part. I mean, the Borg, you know, the Locutus of Borg thing was a great set of episodes.
Sure.
And there were ramifications multiple episodes after that.
That's a really good point. Yeah. That's what I hope it's more about. Like, give me really strong single episodes, but serialize some of the impacts, some of the characters, the way that the show has always sort of done that. Villain of the Week, the way it worked with like A-Team, is not necessarily a good idea.
Right.
Because none of that carried through. Like, it was just, the only thing that carried through was, I wonder if B.A. Baracus won't want to fly in this episode.
Like, and that's less about something that happened to him in a previous episode and more just about, hey, that's how the character's written.
I wonder if George Peppard will say he loves it when a plan comes together. Like, if you just guessed that was going to happen every time. Well, that's good. I think that's great. And also, we live now in a entertainment world where everything is serialized. Like, you would have a hard time telling me about a show that isn't one big continuous story. Brian just said, like, The Killing, watch it, binge it. Mm-hmm. Some of these shows were almost
required. It's way
better
binged. Yeah. Far better binged, yeah.
So maybe they'll straddle that line pretty well, and we'll get good stuff, we hope. Now here's your cringe moment, though. You got a little cringe moment here.
Yeah, the producer said there will be technobabble, but I think they're using the word wrong, because to me, techno is technology and babble means nonsense words. So when you're saying technobabble, I think you're just making up fake words for nothing and they don't mean anything. Mm. But they might mean just technical terms, not nonsense words.
I was thinking about that after I read your email about that, because Next Generation was so full of that stuff. Like, it was real terms, but like, there were things like anti-time, which moves differently than regular time, and we're going to fire a Thorion pulse or a tachyon pulse, and if all three of us fire the same tachyon pulse at the same time, I mean, there's
what
some
I
degree
hate
of that in TNG. Okay, you do hate that.
Yeah,
that's what I hate.
As long as you hate it equally in TNG.
Yeah, across the board, they've always been famous. Like, I think the term technobabble came out of Star Trek because it certainly exists to a point. But they have
after the fifth.
They've got
after
people
the fifth season and then beyond. They did a lot of it, but before that, there really wasn't much.
Yeah, and they've got experts and PhDs and people who know science on the production team. So. So your working theory is that maybe when they're saying that, they're using it as like a term, a broad term, that just means there'll be technological talk where, you know, the captain says, we need to fire the third engine of the hoo-ha, and, you know, or whatever. And the hope is that because they have these experts around, maybe it won't be just throwaway words that they didn't think about and just put in there for plot device reasons.
Now, it's devil's advocate here. If in the 50s, you're in the, you know, let's say the original 60s series TOS, they would have said, well, I'm going to pull out my smartphone and take a look at that. We would have thought that was technobabble, too.
We would have. You're right. You're totally right. They would have. But when they say things like the dilithium crystals have been spent, that's still technobabble.
It is.
Because there's no such thing as those.
It's got its basis in something that makes sense.
Right. Which is why there's a million books that you can buy that say, here's how a transporter works, and here's how the food replicators work, and... Like, there's the most of that stuff is based on some theory, if not science.
Yeah.
And if they stick to that, I'm totally fine with it. It's when
dark matter and I mean, that, you know, all that stuff has theories and you know, in real theories.
What you don't want is them just for MacGuffin reasons saying, oh, the freaking Zontar Bugalaboo.
The only way we're going to be able to get out of this is if we duplicate our schmegma valve.
Oh, no, please keep the schmegma valve closed. Don't open that.
I think we can only open the schmegma valve in cases of emergency, and this seems like one of them. We're never going to escape this black hole.
No, separate the saucer from the rest of the ship. Let's get out of here. Don't open the schmegma valve.
Oh, I think that has a basis in reality, so that might be okay.
Okay.
No, it's what that guy is trying to open, that invisible valve that guy is trying to open in that famous TOS clip.
Freaking love that. More of those, please.
If that solves a story problem, then I won't like it.
Mm.
You think if the guy's turning an invisible thing and that somehow fixes everything, it's just as dumb as technobabble.
Do you think we'll get dudes in skirts like in TOS in the show? Probably not.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's pants for everyone.
Pants for everyone.
Hey, maybe we'll get the origin of the pleasure planet.
Oh! Here's how the beginning of Risa.
How Risa was discovered and populated to be a pleasure planet.
You know why? It's because Mud pushed a button somewhere and just... and by the way, the trailer that shows Office, what's his name? I can't think of his name now. The guy was in The Office, played Dude Man.
Oh, Dwight.
Dwight. I think he is perfect cast for that. He looks great, all bearded up, ready to be Mud. I'm excited about that. Anyway,
yeah, he works. I think he works.
Oh, that was a sound. Where did that come from? Was that you?
Is that Larry in marketing behind you? Yeah, what's going on?
Everything okay?
Yeah,
over
pretty
there?
Much.
Okay.
That happens. Happens all day.
All right, I'd check on him after this. Just make sure he's okay. Anyway,
which stall is he in?
If you want to follow more goings on in the ways of Star Trek, follow Daryl on Twitter at The Trek Nerd. You can also catch him on a show all about Star Trek called This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. It's also, if you acronym that out, it says TWIT, which is something you could go after you for if you ever want to get in trouble with Leo. Oh, so enjoy that.
Well, not like nobody's thought of that.
Yeah. Well, he knows us. He knows you as
Brian Ibbotson,
and he likes my unit.
Scott Johnson's got quite the unit.
Yep. There you go. So anyway, hey, that's gonna do it for Daryl. Daryl, thanks very much. And you don't have anything for us, do you? Do you have anything for us? No.
I've been so bad at that. Someday I might.
All right. That's you fine. Just, you, it's all easy and going. You just tell us what you want to do. Bye. Okay, he's out. I didn't want him to get his ga-ga-ga in because that's bull crap.
Got to just cut the ga-ga-ga, right?
Cut him out.
Talk about somebody that could go after you with a lawsuit. I think that Lady Gaga's got some litigating fingers that she wants to tap Daryl with.
She has a war chest of money she could spend. Hey, we got to follow that Taylor Swift lawsuit. You hearing about this?
Oh, yeah. Thing? Well, it's, yeah, definitely hear about it here because it was a Denver DJ.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he's a former KYGO disc jockey that tried to grab Taylor into hoo ha. And
there is a photograph apparently in evidence that is very damning.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift groping case in Denver. Jury selection begins. Everything you need to know. Well, she'd be on stage, right? Or she'd be on the stand at some point. I assume.
Well, I imagine, yeah.
Good news for Taylor Swift fans. She's back from her brief break. The bad news?
A Colorado talk show host is
suing
music.
You're auto-playing. I didn't ask. Okay. The bad news, she won't be returning to a stage. Instead, she expected to make a full appearance in a Denver federal courtroom this week to testify in dueling civil lawsuits over whether or not she was groped by a radio host in 2013. And whether or not she got him fired for the alleged groping. Oh, this is going to be interesting. 2013, mm-hmm. That was a while ago. Who is suing whom? David Mueller, Denver radio host, then 51, sued Swift in 2015, 2 years after he was fired for this allegation. Swift then, who's 23, or then 23, countersued Mueller in 2015, allegedly publicly for the first time, that he intentionally groped her during a photo shoot at an event. I've never been so sure of anything in my life, she said later in deposition. She asserted that she had nothing to do with Mueller losing his job. I'm excited about this because it feels like a little bit of the freak show, rubberneck kind of case thing I want to watch.
It kind of does, yeah. It would have been fun, actually, to get put on this jury.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, basically what it's all going to come down to is I'm sure the situation is, oh, we're posing for a photo? Great, come here, let me put my arm around you. And then... hand either innocently or non-innocently initially is in the wrong place. Maybe he moves it. Maybe mm-hmm. that causes some weird feelings. Who knows?
Yeah, but who knows?
That's my guess. And I'm guessing if there's a photo, it's probably this dude's hand on Taylor Swift's butt.
Probably. It says, according to legal documents in the case, she will testify about Mueller assaulting her by lifting up. By the way, this is not the Mueller that's going after Trump and his stuff. This is a very different lawyer mm-hmm. or guy.
Right.
Lifting her skirt and grabbing her bare bottom. Jeez.
Oh, really?
At a fan meet and greet, her reaction to Mueller's conduct and how it affected her. He took his hand and put it up my dress and grabbed onto my ass cheek. And no matter how much I scooted over, it was still there, she says.
Oh, man. Okay, if there's photo evidence of this, then this guy's absolutely in the doghouse. Holy crap.
Listen what she's asking for. What does Swift want? Oh, key piece of evidence, damning proof, blah, blah, blah. That's the picture. Okay. What does Swift want? She is seeking a verdict that awards her $1 while holding Mueller responsible and serving as example to other women who may resist publicly reliving similar outrageous and humiliating acts. So she's not in this for the money, obviously. She doesn't need it.
Yeah, she doesn't need it. Right.
He wants, you know what he wants, though? $3 million.
For the thousands of dollars that he's lost in you know, potential job income.
Yeah, he's naming, he's saying he's defamed by her. So I hope she wins. I'm rooting for her, dude. You freaking perv. Keep your hands to yourself.
Exactly. If he really did that, and if there's a photo, I mean, basically the proof will be if there's a photo of him with his hand up her skirt, then that's a very non-innocent. That doesn't just happen accidentally when you're taking a picture.
Trying to see if this is public. Is that photo public? I can't see it. News. Yeah, I can't find it. Somewhere somebody's got to have that, right?
I assume so. And that's why you won't see it until after it's been admitted as evidence and the case is over.
I can't imagine it hasn't been leaked or something. It's somebody's phone or whatever.
No, I'm crazy. I can imagine that.
all right. Well, there you go. We'll follow that. We'll get that's your update. Don't worry. Next couple days, we'll follow it again. We'll let you guys know what's going on with the Taylor Swift case right here on the Morning Stream. That's going to do it for us. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Thank you for supporting us at patreon.com/TMS. We're getting closer to that goal. Go check it out. We are super stoked about it. Frogpants.com/TMS is where you'll find all our links. And for those wondering if we still have that Reddit page, we do. Frogpants.reddit.com. Brian, let's get out of here.
Okay.
To do so, though, we are required by the FCC to play a request at the end of the show.
Well, James wrote in and said, it's my son's birthday on the 7th of August. His name is Ethan. He's turning 4, and he's a huge Disney Cars fan. By the age of 2, he was singing Life is a Highway by Tom Cochrane from the Cars soundtrack. Being in Australia, we listen to the show via podcast a lot of times in the car, and he'd get a huge kick out of hearing his name called out on the show and a song played for him anytime around his birthday. Signed, James. Well, hopefully, James, you tune back in after the the McDonald's.
No kidding.
The McDonald's drug user story. Tune back in for this. This is a cover of the song Life is a Highway, popularized for the film by Rascal Flatts, originally done by Tom Cochrane, and performed here by country blues crossover artist Chris Ledoux. This comes from his 2008 greatest hits collection called Classic Chris Ledoux. Oh, that's just Classic Chris Ledoux. Here's his cover of Life is a Highway.
Life's like a road that you travel on. Sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside every darkened door where the blues won't haunt you anymore. Where the brave are free and the lovers soar. Come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate, break down the garden gate. There's not much time left today.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Sensorily. Well, that's totally weird.